Blog Talk Radio.
Please hang up and try again.
Thursday night. That means 8 o'clock. I'm Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger. I'll be your host for the early show here. If you came here looking for Rob, go back to sleep for a couple of hours. He'll be on later, right, Rob?
Hey, what do you mean? I'm here now.
Oh, okay, you're here now. All right, we'll let you talk. We got with us live on the phones, we got Mark, the landing crew from Virginia Beach. Hey, Mark.
What's up?
All right. We've got, let's see, we've got Bill Haywood Howard from Tampa. But are you in Tampa right now, Bill?
Yeah, I'm home. Yeah.
Okay, cool. One of those rare opportunities we get to talk to Bill at home. We've got Rob the Bad Back Cast from the Tampa area. Hey, Rob.
What's up?
What's up, man? We've got Dennis Spike from, where are you at, Dennis? You're not in Malibu anymore, right?
No, 500 miles north near Bodega Bay.
500 miles north. That was a long paddle, wasn't it, dude?
Getting back and forth, it sure is. Hey, that's some pretty fishy music coming into this show. I like it.
It is, man. It's kind of, you know, mellowed out and stuff. We got some other stuff, though, for tonight we're going to try out. And then on the other line, working on his chick car is the Isaac the Nothing from Portland, Oregon. Hey, Isaac.
Hey, how's it going?
Have you got it started yet, dude?
Well, I just got the battery put in. Right now, I'm not sure if I'm not getting fuel or getting spark, but one of those two things, I'll have it running tonight.
When you get ready to test the spark, man, let us know. We'll turn up the volume on it so we can hear you scream.
All right, sounds good.
All right, and in the chat room, we've got Aaron. We've got Charlie. These guys are over on the east coast of Florida. Aaron's down in the...
Hey, Chip.
What?
Chip, Charlie just said that he's got the same haircut that I do, and he shaved the beard off.
No way. We're not going to recognize him.
I know, man. Who's going to do, how's he going to do the Civil War reenactments now?
Well, he's going to look like a Vin Diesel out there, man.
I know.
I see Paul Shipman in there. We've got Miss Backcast with us tonight. Cool. Charlie's trying to improve his image. There's Scott. And we got the Yak Sushi. Hang on, I uploaded some new music. Listen to this one. That's special for the Yak Sushi Man.
I'm getting hungry.
You getting hungry? There you go. You always got to have a little bit of soy sauce and some wasabi in your tackle box, man. And as long as you got that and water, you're good to go, right? So let's take it over to the news real quick. We'll update everyone. And as your special roving reporter, Chip Gibson, I'm here to update you on the kayak wars. The kid dug it, right? Yeah. All right, in the Southeast Kayak Fishing Radio, we're holding number 6 right now as we speak. The Naughty Dogs are still up at the top with 1,300 points. Flippy Floppies in second, Sea Hunt, Mixed Nuts, Revolution, and then the Kayak Fishing Radio folks. Which is of behind me is of no concern, right? Okay.
Well,
hey, guess what?
Wait a minute here. you're forgetting a team.
What team? I got team. There's team. Now,
we got the Northwest. We got the beer crew, the
right?
Northwest Kayak Anglers Team 2.
Team 2, yes. You got Northwest Kayak Anglers Team 1 in first, Northwest Kayak Anglers Team 2, and that encompasses every kayak angler in the Northwest.
I won't go that far, but yeah, that's the West Coast news.
You guys have the top two positions, and guess what? Team Yak Angler from the Northeast. Team Yak Angler in the Northeast region is number 7, sitting there with 15 points right now.
Yeah. Hey, there's only one. 15 points? It should be 25.
You got 15, man.
I call shenanigans.
Well, we know the Yak Angler guys are fully shenanigans.
That's right. We're all in shenanigans, right? And Scott and Charlie are saying, hey, they're in 13th there with the Irish Water Dogs. And guess what? Dee got bumped out of first place. She's sitting second right now in the overall Southeast Angler position with 420 points. Country Boy UCF is holding first. He bumped her out with 435. Let's see who's over there in the – where's the first Irish Water Dog in there? Look in. There's Charlie. Charlie's number 21. So, yes, Dee is carrying us. You're right, Charlie.
That's an impressive roster you're fishing there.
We are fishing a pretty impressive roster. So, hang on. I got some callers on the line. There's 850 area code. Who are you?
Yo, it's Mark.
Oh, hey, dude. Did you like your music, man?
Yeah, I think I better come in with my entrance music.
That's right. And here comes Chuck. Dee.
Hey.
Did you guys get to hear the news?
No, what?
I see you're upset, aren't you, Dee?
About what?
You got bumped out of first place. You're in second now.
Ah, that's only for a day.
Did you miss my great newsreel intro music and everything?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm not going to play it again, so.
Okay, that's okay. I'll listen to it on the replay. Oh.
But we got the kids. Oh, and the kids learned a new trick too. You say, kids, Dee caught the biggest sheep's head you've ever seen the other day.
Nice.
You're gonna kill me.
You're gonna have to quit smoking as much, Dee.
Well, I'll tell you, that was good stuff. That was really hard not to eat it tonight, I'll tell you.
All right.
I was smoking it for someone else, so.
Is that right?
Yeah, tough to smoke food for someone else and not eat it.
All right. So let me check in here. Rob, you got to keep us honest in the chat room, man. Speak up if somebody says something that we need to pay attention to here. We got 8 live callers. Hey, we almost hit 2,000 downloads for our shows in the month of February for the podcast. So we're setting records here. We've got some folks lined up to join us in the future. So not to put out our regulars, which we enjoy having everybody on board, but we've got some other folks coming in. Now, for this week, my cast of wise and friendly crew, Stanley Tripp Jones, which he may be in the chat room. I don't know. I don't see Stanley. But if you're in there, Stanley, please identify yourself. Stanley asked us, he wanted to hear more about inexpensive additions to your kayaks and crates and anchor trolleys, Nerf scupper plugs, things like that. So we're going cheap tonight on Kayak Fishing Radio, and we're talking about inexpensive upgrades and things you can do to your kayak. Now, if you haven't seen my trailer yet, you'll know that I'm Mr. Cheap. I've got, I've got all kinds of things hung on that thing between PVC pipe. Huh?
Whatever.
Dude, I got I got my PVC.
Hey, you
want to
talk about Mr. Frugal?
Yeah.
Look at my rig.
Right. Okay, so let's start with you, Rob. Give us one inexpensive upgrade that can help save the bucks for your kayak fishing addiction.
Well, I had a buddy fashion a stakeout pole for me out of a sand spike, a long 8-foot screw, and a PVC T on the end of it. And that's my my cheapo homemade stakeout pole.
Okay.
An item nobody on the West Coast would know what you're talking about.
You don't want a stakeout pole, is
there? No, I know what it is. Yeah. Sure, I know what it is. But it's pretty funny. I love listening about the different fisheries.
Yeah,
sorry to interrupt.
I mean, you guys get a kayak length off the beach, and you need Isaac's reel of 400 feet of anchor line, right?
To stay in one spot.
I mean, you come off the continental shelf there, two kayak links away from the beach.
What are you, fishing for opas up there, Isaac?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, exactly.
How many feet of anchor line do you got there when you go out, Isaac?
I got 300 feet.
300 feet.
That's
what do you got about
the river?
And what?
That's just for the river. That's for the river.
What about that six? About 6 foot of half-inch chain on the end of a full plowman anchor?
I got a 12-pound mushroom.
A 12-pound mushroom. Holy cow, man.
Like I said, the Willamette River here, it's 100 feet deep in a lot of spots. And
gotta have that.
Today it's moving probably 85,000 cubic feet per second. So
that's a lot of
river.
Movement. Yeah. So now you use a pretty cool idea there with the reel for your anchor line, don't you, Isaac?
Yeah, I use a extension cord reel from Home Depot or Lowe's, whatever. Just a $12 reel, so I can hold it in one hand and crank all the line up in the other.
Right.
And it's a good way to keep it all in one spot without getting tangled up.
300 feet of anchor line. All you need is a 12-year-old with a couple of extra rods, man, and you'd be in a world of hurt there.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. I'd like to welcome Juan from Kayak Fishing PA. He just joined us live on the air. Hey, Juan, how are you tonight? Hello, Juan. Kayak Fish PA. You're live. All right. Just holler when you figure it out. All right. Who's our next one up for one of the things that Stanley did give us the idea, and I haven't seen him there if he came out online, but Nerf balls. Go into your favorite big box store. Instead of spending $5 a piece on the scupper plugs, for your kayak, get those little green Nerf balls, and they fit in there just good. They really fit into the big holes, but all you got to do is shave them down a little bit, and you can stick them in any hole. Drill a hole through the middle of them, put a little bit of silicone in, and put a string on it if you want to take them out. I don't ever take the ones out from underneath my seat anyways.
Where do you buy Nerf balls?
At like Walmart, Wally World, or that famous French store, Target.
You can tell I don't have kids. I go to those.
Haywood's got one? Yeah.
You can go to Walmart, has these
they're like a fanny pack, or it's a hiking pack, like a hiking pack. It has a pouch, and on either side it has a holder for like a water bottle. You take that and you put it on the front of your milk crate, run the strap around, tighten it up, put some wire ties or your zip ties to hold that strap in place and hold. And that's what I keep my leader, you know, just assorted little odds and ends, and I keep that behind me right on my milk crate. And they're cheap. They, you know, they last. Mine just, the zipper seized up on me, but I've had it on there for a good 3 years. And if you buy a thing of chapstick, stick it in there, and every day that you use it, run some chapstick on that zipper. That'll keep the water off of it, and it'll last a long time.
Hello?
Yeah, we still there?
Yeah.
Is everyone
still there?
Okay. I don't know what happened.
Let me jump in. I like that chapstick idea for zippers. I never thought of that before.
Yeah, I just, you know, you can go buy them for, you know, a buck and then throw it in there and leave it there. And just every time, you know, or every other time you use, you go out, just put some chapstick on it. Works good.
That's brilliant.
We have lost the chipmunker.
Oh, I'm sorry. I turned my mic down.
Oh.
I was trying to talk. I'm talking right back at you guys going, wait, somebody's not hearing me.
It's anarchy.
Yes, it's anarchy. They're taking over. All right, so we've got a couple of great ideas.
For some Sweetwaters.
Yeah, for some Sweetwaters. Don't worry, brother. I'm gonna have the cooler full. They have a variety pack that's coming out here. I'm on their tweet thing now. So we're gonna have plenty of beverages. So we will share some beverages in the first weekend in April.
I like that idea.
Yes. So, and for those of you who are, Landon Cruz got his little red face out there. So, first weekend in April 2nd and 3rd, we're meeting up again. We're going to fish the Goon, right? So, D, you're going to be able to make that?
I thought I had to make that one.
Is that how you had to make it? Is it kind of a return trip?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
When?
April 2nd. And I don't know about the 3rd, but I heard it was just the 2nd. But if it goes 2 days, that's all right.
Well, I'm planning on... I was planning on going down for... I'm going to take off Friday afternoon, so we get there Friday late. Fish Saturday. And then I'm not leaving until Monday morning. I'm going to take Monday off for the drive back. So if I'm going to come down, I got to fish for 2 days. I got to put some more points on the board. So, but
yeah
we're going to be at the Titusville Best Western. So I guess that's probably, it says about 20 minutes from the spot where we fished last time, unless we're going to fish somewhere else. But. We've got some crews.
Hey, Chip, when is that? April 2nd?
Yeah.
Damn, I got a tournament that weekend.
Well, that's all right. You need to fish that and put some more fish on the board. Are you fishing both days on the tournament?
Saturday. Actually, I really don't need to be there for the tournament. But
you don't need to be there? Is it one of those fish wherever you want?
No, it's one in Tampa Bay, but I'm not even in it for the season long because
okay.
I missed my wife. So I really I'll, so you're gonna fish Saturday and Sunday?
I'm planning on it. Yeah, me and the clone are coming down, and we're gonna fish Saturday and Sunday. We'll be there Friday night, get in the hotel room, and then come around. Is Chuck on the phone?
Yep.
Hey, Chuck, can you cut across that causeway right through the middle there coming from 95? Or do I have to go all the way up around the north end?
No, you can cut across the causeway.
You can? Okay. Yeah. That'll make it a little bit shorter. So, but yeah, we're going to be there. I think Javier Ortiz from YakAngler.com is planning on being there Saturday and Sunday. And Mark got bumped out for some reason. Mark, what's up with you, man? You're not going to be able to make it back down?
No, I just accepted a position with a marketing firm.
Oh.
And starting a new job. It just can't, you know, say, hey, I'm going to go fishing this weekend. You know, yeah, you know, I'll see you guys later. So this one is out for me for right now. But don't count me out. I might be coming back with a little something special here soon.
Okay. All right. Cool. Scott has put up the SweetwaterBrew.com website, which is cool. They've got some great brews there. Dee, you're going to have to give me your flavor of the week so that I can pick some up for you. And
okay. Charlie says he's going to Fisherpalooza too, Chip.
Charlie's going to be there? And I
for
think
those
Scott,
of you that don't know.
Say what?
Yes, Scott's going too.
Okay.
Scott's going too. For those of you who don't know, we're doing the YakAngler.com Fisherpalooza in at Mosquito Lagoon. April 2nd and 3rd. So make your reservations now.
That's right. And did you ever get the campground thing figured out there, Rob?
No, I called them and they were like closed for lunch, so I got to call them when they're not on lunch.
You got to love
that,
right?
When I was on. I called him when I was on lunch. Yeah, I know. It's a, you know, it's a process.
Right. And Yak Sushi has posted the link to the event. If you're listening to the podcast and you're interested in finding out some more information about it, it's YakAngler.com. Just go to the resources tabs to events and look up Mosquito Lagoon Fishapalooza. And we'll get right back to our cheap ideas here, but I just wanted to let those folks know who were part of the President's Day boondoggle that I fired my current cartoonist and I'm looking for another one. I sent a bunch of stuff to the first person. I was supposed to hear something back within 2 days, and I got no response from them. Tried calling them, nothing. So I don't know if they just have some phantom trap floating in the water for people to try to get information from them, but so now I'm on the skyline for looking for another cartoonist to get the background drawn for the shirts for President's Day boondoggle. And we've got let's see who's saying fly down and get some yaks. Yeah, I mean, you guys in Kentucky. Of course, man, Louisville to Atlanta is like one of the most expensive short-haul flights you can buy. For some reason, a friend of mine worked for UPS, man, and that's just a heck of a expense there. But I'll be leaving on Friday afternoon, so if you come into Atlanta, I've got a couple of seats open. We can throw you in the back, and I've got a couple of extra kayaks, and I know some of our wonderful guides down there would probably rent you a kayak for a few extra beers or some beer money. Right?
Sure.
You're a man of many words tonight, Chuck.
I'm trying to get my oldest son to bed.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm working out a little. So.
Multitasking.
Multitasking
trying,
is correct.
I'm trying. I'm not very good
He's
at
saving
that,
it up for the late show.
Saving it up for the late show, okay. Hey, yes, Spiker. How about an inexpensive trick to help support your yak angling addiction there? It'll save you money. What do you got for us, man?
Got a million of them.
A million of them. A handful of bungees.
I've always figured that as long as I had a paddle leash,
a plastic crate and a piece of PVC,
mm-hmm.
I could rent a kayak and fish it anywhere.
Right.
And a lot of times when I travel, it's like, man, there's no way I'm going to be able to fish. And I just can't, it's not worth it to me to go out and rent a kayak and put my rod in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but putting a crate and a handful of bungees, there's, and a paddle leash too. A lot of rental kayaks, you're stuck with your paddle, it can just ruin the whole day. So that's what I'd say, a plastic crate, a piece of PVC, a handful of bungees, and a paddle leash.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to...
that's four.
Okay. That's four, all right. And I'm gonna pipe in on paddle leashes, because I know some of the great folks that are around, and Brad over at Sun Jammers and everything. A paddle leash does not have to cost $20. I use a piece of quarter inch cord, parachute cord, tied to a snap link, and then I run a bowline loop. And I just loop that thing around my fishing rod or my paddle, and I make leashes all day long with that. Paul's saying, "Oh, phone cords," which is good.
That's
but,
what I was
going to
say.
Yeah,
you, know,
you can use
a,
an old. Go ahead.
Back in the day, phones were attached to the wall. You couldn't walk more than 10 feet away from the phone.
Right.
Those phone cords, I mean, they're $1 a dozen at Goodwill. And they make awesome, good, strong leashes.
They sure do, and they're coiled up. And if you get the one that my mom had in the kitchen, that sucker's about 37 feet long. It started out at 18 inches.
The reason she had it that long, so when you're running away from her, she can still reach you with it.
That's right.
What it is.
You just loop it around your neck and knock you down. That's right.
I got another cheap, inexpensive fix for special plug holes.
Okay.
I just had to do this for my new boat I just picked up. I went to Ace Hardware, and in their plumbing section, they have rubber grommets or rubber stoppers. And I think the ones for the new Emotion I just got was, they were like size 6, and they were 99 cents a piece.
Awesome. Yep.
That's a good fix.
Yep, and if you're flying a Wilderness Systems kayak or one of those kayaks that has the track system, the new track systems, I found 4 of the little square pieces that fit into the tracks in one of the specialized drawers at Lowe's, the Blue Box hardware store. I found those, and they have like these drawers in the hardware aisle that have all kinds of interesting little things, you know, little pieces, parts that you never think of. And I found 4 of those little square things that fit into the tracks. Now, they're not brass, so you probably want to do the Haywood trick and put some chapstick on those babies to keep them from corroding, because in the aluminum tracks, that dissimilar metal will set up some corrosion on you. But if you keep them clean, those babies are a lot less expensive than the ones that you buy from the manufacturer for your trackers. I did some research this week also, because there was a couple of things on some of the websites, people looking for milk crates. Now, I'm not going to endorse any ninja opportunities to you know, go behind the local grocery establishment, and certainly if you borrow something, you should take it back someday, right? But if you want to have clear and free title to your very own high speed, low drag milk crate, and I'm talking one of the nice heavy duty ones that had the metal embedded in the plastic, Duluth Trading Company. They're an online store, Duluth Trading Company, D-U-L-U-T-H Trading Company, has those heavy-duty crates, the old milk crates, and I think they're like $14 a piece.
That is a sweet tip.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Because those little cheapos that you buy at Wally World for files and stuff, they just won't stand up. They'll break, you know.
You know, there's regarding store-bought crates. They're pretty much made for inside household use. There's no UV protection in them. And if you do find one that looks like it'll work for you, make sure you get a dark color like black or brown or dark blue, because the light colors are even worse in the sun. I live in dairy country. Got wines, red wine, redwoods, cows all over the place up here. And I went to one of the dairy distributors, and I said, hey, I want to buy 100 of these boxes. And this guy's family owns the dairy, so when I go to pick up the milk crates from him, he said, listen, he goes, you can't tell anybody about this. I'm like, no, I can't take them then because I want to tell everybody about it. I tell you, man, it's not easy buying a legal milk crate.
No, it's not. It's kind of like trying to go buy a keg to turn it into a grill, you know?
There you go.
So, speaking of keg, I'll have to go visit my friends at Sweetwater Brewery for the upcoming trip. Maybe that's what we do. That way there we can recycle the keg. So, always thinking about the environment, you know. So
there you go.
So we're going good on some tips here. What else do we got? D, you're quiet.
Maybe because I really don't have anything as great as everybody else is coming up with.
The queen has fallen.
No way.
For a day.
He's got a great tip, the bait bucket thing, Dee.
Oh, yay. Thanks, Chuck. Okay, but it's not, and you know, a lot of people don't use a lot of live bait, but there's, you know, the Frabel buckets that you have to put your shrimp in, or you could put your live pinfish in or whatever, and you hang it over the side of your kayak in the water to keep your bait alive. The wind and waves had been creating an issue where the bucket would constantly crack against the kayak and make nasty noises, right? Bang, bang, bang. And my fiance came up with an idea where you just take a couple of self-tapping screws and use pipe insulation for, like, water pipe insulation, the foam, which so it's a circle, and just screw two of those perfect size ones into the air pockets of those Frabels to create a cushion so it's not banging into the kayak. So we call them silencers. So all our buckets have that screwed in. And if the screw goes bad, you just pop another one right into the same hole. You're good.
Cool. It's a good idea. Keeping it quiet.
Hey, Scott had a nice idea that I saw up in Jacksonville there. He was just saying his bait tube, you know. He had that little piece of PVC running underneath his kayak all day. And I'm like, what the heck is that thing? It looks like a torpedo. You know, and it was a piece of PVC, like, what, 2-inch PVC with holes drilled in it. And I asked him, and he said, oh, that's his shrimp bucket. He keeps his live shrimp in there and just kind of, you know, follows behind his kayak, you know. I thought that was kind of a good idea, man.
If I can interject, Spike here.
Go ahead.
We fish a lot of bait on the West Coast, especially Southern California is a huge live bait fishery. And I lugged around that Plano trolling bait bucket for probably 15 years. And I hated pulling it. It dragged in the water. And a guy sent me a real abrasive letter one time to get his point across about, like you talked about, with a PVC torpedo. They used irrigation or drainage pipe that you use in, like, mucky soil to help it drain. Mm-hmm. And capped both ends of it with one that unscrewed and enough line that it drags a foot behind the kayak, and you'll never know that thing is there, and it holds an amazing amount of bait. Like 4-inch, it's either 3 or 4-inch ABS
right.
drainage pipe. It already comes perforated, which is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if the holes are a little too big, you can always take like a cheap laundry bag from the shelves of your big box store and wrap that around it, or put a lady's stocking over the top of it. That'll keep them in there.
Or catch trigger bait.
You know.
Excuse me?
The only people that fish with bait, Stryker, you know the only people that fish with bait in San Diego are the ones who don't know how to throw the iron.
There's some days, man, fish will only eat the iron. I love those days.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's.
So we had a Paul Shipman's on board with us in the chat room there, and he was saying he was in an aluminum boat when he got swamped by a jerk in a 28-foot twin engine. And but the similar thing happened to us when we were fishing down in Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, turnabout karma has a way of taking care of things. As Charlie and them were coming back, they came around the corner, and the guy who had who had totally swamped us going through in a John boat, not with no consideration. You know, we had the clone with us, a 12-year-old in a kayak, and I mean, this guy's coming close, and him and his buddies, they hit the oyster bar and tore the transom completely out of the back of the boat. So.
Instant karma, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, man, it's karma, you know.
Instant.
Karma likes kayak fishermen. So. But, and I don't think anyone got any pictures of that, did they? So, but I had another tip also. If you want to make some really cool, you know, you can take some PVC, inch and a half or so, in diameter, that's just about big enough to hold a rod in it, and put the butt of your rod in there. But two things, you take a T, right, and you put that in with a short piece of, you know, some scrap, 1.5 inch, and you put that in there and put a little bit of foam around in the side of it, and that is a great fighting butt to add on to one of your rods. They sell them, they call them hookahs or something like that, that I've seen them sell in some of the bait shops that have the
rod
foam
hookie.
And the what? The rod hookie, yeah. And but if you just use a T of PVC to stick there in your lap while you're sitting in your yak, it it kind of softens the butt of the rod there. Another thing.
I got another one, Chip.
Okay, hang on. Take your PVC and I've got a heat gun. Or you can use a torch, but don't get the torch too close to the PVC because it will burn. It'll bubble up and get pretty nasty. But you take and heat up the end of the PVC pipe, walk around behind your truck, and then take that warm PVC and push it down on top of the ball of your trailer hitch, and it'll flare out the end of that PVC real nice. So if you stick that thing behind you, it's a little bit easier to slide the butt of the rods down into it when you're not looking. So... All right. Bill, you're up.
Along those same lines, you can take an old tennis ball. Just cut a slit in it. And, you know, when you hook up with a fish, grab that, you know, just keep it kind of in your lap, stick it right on the end of the rod. Works great.
Yep. That sounds that'll work just as well too. I've seen those on some of the bigger boats too. So, who's this? A long neck bottle works too. Yep, you can use a beer bottle to flare out the PVC.
I've used that. Just go and buy a regular, you know, PVC tee and just use that for tarpon fishing. That works great too.
Just stick for the put it on the butt of your rod while you're fighting.
Yeah, just keep it in my lap, you know, and you know, we were cats and lures, and then when you hook up, you just grab it, jam it on there, and go to work.
So what else do we got? Who's got another one for me?
Well, if I've got one, if you're in the bass fishing mood and you fish a lot of shaky heads, Charlie on a chain. I'll get to that in a second. And you know, fish shaky heads just to buy the lure itself. It's, you know, you're looking at maybe 5 or 6 in a package for like $7. And that's the price of Bass Pro today for a couple of them, and that's insane. what I do, and I even use this for my swim bait setups, is save the pens, your mechanical pens. That little spring in there is perfect. You take it, you stretch it out, you cut off on the end so you got a little sharp end, you know, kind of wiggle that onto the hook shank or onto the piece of lead, and then you can use that as a swim bait or worm holder. And, you know, I know I've got 1,000 pens sitting around my house somewhere, you know, that I find, and, you know, they're either dead or blown up somewhere, and I just take out the little, you know, spring and stretch them out, and I've got about a dozen in my little tackle box that I keep when I'm fishing shaky heads, or, you know, I run out of secret weapon recoil rigs. They work great to hold on to the, you know, you put a little barrel swivel on your line, and then you tie, and then you take the spring, and you lace that onto the bottom of the swivel, and on the bottom of the spring, you slide on your weight, and now you got a springy setup for your drop shot rig. And that's a, you know, another little trick. You know, any way that you can save money on expensive tackle is you know, a big, big hooray.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's another thing too, is that you go out and you spend $3 to $5 on a swim bait, on some kind of hard bait, and it gets a little beat up and all, or, you know, the hooks get bad. It doesn't take but a couple of dollars to get some new hooks and set it back up. And a couple of my hard baits that I use in freshwater, I actually took the trebles off the back of them and hung single hooks on them, just because I don't like having all those treble hooks up in my lap when I'm trying to paddle the kayak. So, but you can always redo hard bait, a little bit of spray paint, some magic markers, that kind of thing. You can bring new life to the babies with new hooks. So there's no reason to throw any of those things away.
And you know, surprisingly, you know, and I try to tell people this, you know, go out and spend, you know, save up a little bit of money and buy, you know, your jig head and the, you know, your spinner bait heads and then and everything that you, like the lead stuff, the stuff that can really get expensive to lose, everything except for the hooks, and buy the molds and learn how to pull your own lead heads and bait, because you'll be surprised how much money you get to save, you know, at the end of the year when you look at it and go, okay, you know, last year I spent, you know, for me personally, you know, I'll spend, you know, a grip of money on just lead itself. Went ahead and bought a couple of molds that I use all the time. You know, my sinkers when I'm surf casting, to, you know, my little bullet head worm molds, you know, and I've saved a buttload by doing that. You'd
right.
be surprised how nice that can be.
I'll give you a little heads up on finding lead for baits, and just go to your local tire shop. I know a friend of mine used to own a tire shop, and they have buckets and buckets of lead that they pull off of wheels when they're changing tires out, and they have to pay to have it removed. They've got more waste lead than they can shake a stick at, and I'm sure that they'd be happy to give you a couple of handfuls, and it doesn't take that much to pour, you know, bunches of lead heads. And the Do It molds.
Oh, yeah.
Do It is the folks who make the molds. I don't think there's anybody else that makes molds right now, are there?
Oh, yeah. You can make your own molds.
Yeah.
You can use RTV, which is a room temperature vulcanizer. It's a little tricky to pour yourself, but
right.
once you get the idea, it's, you know, I personally do the Bombs Away style, which I'm basically standing on a ladder in one of my kiddies' toys, and I'm, you know, pouring the stuff from like 10 feet high in a thin stream, so I get rid of all the air bubbles, which is key. But if you want to do a Do It mold, which is basically the brand name, I guess you call it, you can have a machine shop make you a set of aluminum molds. That
right.
would be a problem.
And as Mitchell Dorsey there, Scott is bringing up that lead, handling of lead, is a hazardous action. So you're going to make sure you know the dangers of it before you go.
You
got
to be careful. You got to be careful because a lot of states, it's illegal to do it in. So
you need to take special care for it, and make sure that your kids aren't around it and stuff, because lead has some lasting effects.
Outside. Yeah, definitely do it outside on a flat surface, like on concrete, on like a concrete patio, not in a smoke driveway or inside the garage. Take it from someone who used to pour iron and aluminum. You do not want to suck in any of those fumes or have a spill happen. That stuff is hot.
Yes.
And it will light everything up around you and you up very quickly.
Yep.
If you're going to do it, go to a local firefighting supply store. You'd be surprised how many there are out there. Take up a set of, good firefighting gloves. You can get them for like $30. Buy a respirator if you want and do it outside with a nice breeze on a very stable surface, and you will not go wrong.
That's right.
If you do it inside, you will go wrong.
Just make sure you read all the instructions and all the warnings and heed them appropriately if you're going to try pouring your own leads. I used to pour them for the egg sinkers for fishing offshore. I mean, it was cheap, especially when you could get it all. And let's see, Haywood's like, he could just go buy some Slayers.
That's it.
Yeah, I was going to say Mission Fishing, but he beat me to it.
What'd you say?
I was going to say Mission Fishing, but Haywood beat me to saying Slayers. Basically the same thing.
Mission? I'll tell you what I'm having a hard time finding is I want some 3-aught and 4-aught worm hooks with, the 1/8 or 1/4-ounce leads on them, and I'm having a hard time finding those.
Slayer's got them.
Who?
Yeah, Slayer Inc. has got them.
Slayer Inc., he's got anywhere from a 2-aught to a 5-aught in just about any weight worm hook like that you're looking for, black and red.
Cool. And what was the one you were saying there, Chuck?
Mission Fishing.
Mission Fishing? Like mission? Like on a mission?
Right.
Okay.
It's basically the exact same company. The jig heads and the hooks are exactly the same. Just two different name companies.
Okay. Cool.
Slayer's is like more of a west coast of Florida thing. It's starting to kind of pick up over here, and Mission Fishing is kind of a big thing over here, and I don't think it's made its way over there.
Now, Slayer is up in Jacksonville, and he offers two different styles of jigs, where Mission Fishing only has the one style. And Mission Fishing only has one size hooks on their jigs, where Slayer offers from a 2-aught to a 4-aught size on the jigs, which a lot of companies don't do that.
I stand corrected.
And Miss Backass is in love with Florida weather, as we're talking about lead heads here. So
they're not cheap, though, Chip.
No, they're not.
Another quick little tip and trick. I just figured this out when I went fishing the other day, so I've been playing around with trying to get more action in my Senkos. Did you ever see a Senko shake? Sink, it kind of like shimmies and wobbles. And the plastic that you have to use and the amount of salt you have to use or clay or sand or whatever you want to put in the plastic to make it sink like it does makes it very dense and very stiff. I've been playing around with this, trying to figure out, because I don't want to add a big piece of plastic in front of my hook or my bait to get in the way, or a big hook. So I use, 1-aught or about 1-aught octopus hooks for my Senko's Wacky or just a regular 3-aught. If you take a split shot right at the base of the eye of the hook and you pretty much crinch it down as hard as you can so that it sits, in a good parallel plane with the hook eye, so it's all laying flat. If you're looking at it, when you rig the Senko on there, and when you cast it out and let it drop, that now piece of split shot will add a little bit more weight, make it sink slightly faster, but also create like a crankbait action, how it'll kind of wobble more, and that is something that can be very deadly. If, you know, I would have had more time to play with it, I would have caught more fish, but they were just wanting those, you know, lipless crankbaits. So crazy.
Okay.
But that's definitely a good little tip if you're looking to get a little more action on your bait without spending an arm and a leg.
Or have you tried putting the split rings in the eyes too?
I use a couple of split rings here and there, but this is more of, because the bait itself, the tail, would actually just a little shimmy and shake. And I wanted more of a pronounced shake. And that, you know, when I did that, when I dropped in the water, it really wobbled back and forth a lot.
Right.
And it was kind of surprising. It kind of took me back, and I was like, huh, I might have something here. You know, let me play around with this a little bit more. But with limited time, you can only play with something so much. And if you're looking to catch the fish, you just kind of have to put it on the side burner. And, you know, that's top priority next time I go out.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, we've certainly got some great tips out there tonight. This will be a podcast that we'll try to mark so that if folks are going to be listening to it, you can find it, or we can direct folks to it. It'll be the Kayak and Done Cheap version of Kayak Fishing Radio with all kinds of tips and trends for playing around, saving those pennies to help support your addiction. You got some music going? All right.
Or spend your hard-earned money at a local tackle shooter. Amper's not my kid.
Yeah.
We definitely tell that wasn't coming from Rob's household.
No?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't coming from Rob's house.
Hey, I listen to that. I listen to laid-back kind of stuff, too, you know?
I like a Shimano baitcaster spooled up with Power Pro with about 10 pounds of drag and fish screaming on the end of that. That's some pretty good music. But, so we'll just we'll go out here and we'll tell you what's coming up. We've got April, the first weekend in April, April 2nd, we've got the Yak Angler Fishapalooza. We've got myself and a few others, Rob and Charlie and Scott from Irish Water Dogs, and Dee and Chuck are going to hopefully be able to spend the weekend fishing with us there at the Mosquito Lagoon. And Chuck, some tips, what folks need to bring?
In April, it's pretty much wide open. The fish are really aggressive because we're in a lot warmer of a water pattern. So I tend to switch. I still throw a lot of paddle tail baits, but I do like to throw jerk baits quite a bit in the middle of spring or early summer, if you will. Again, don't forget DEET. You need DEET. DEET is your friend.
Rob, you know about that DEET thing, right?
Yeah.
Rob's going to be camping over on the seashore there, so he's probably going to need to just bathe in it for the days he's out there.
Get yourself a couple of those thermocells or even the mosquito picks. You can buy them at Walmart in the outdoor section. They're just little, small, like, look like, remember those little black things you light on fire when you're a kid? They turn into like a little snake thing. You used to buy them off like the ice cream truck. Or am I changing one? Yeah, there you go. They look kind of like that. They're little spiral deals. They burn real slow, and they keep the mosquitoes off. You put two or three of them around your campsite, and you'll be fine. But hopefully the fishing will be as good. Well, it probably won't be. But hopefully the fishing will be as good as it was last time. The fish tend to kind of spread out a little bit in the springtime. They don't tend to be so, you know, ganged up in one area like you found them last time. So,
right.
You know, it'll still be trout, redfish. We'll probably see more black drum in the lagoon that time of year. Even maybe possibly some tarpon, some snook. So, you know, you'll still have about the same mixed bag you might be able to run into. Just like I say, I mean, if you want to fish top water baits, you can get away with it in the wintertime for most of the day. But when you guys are coming down. It's only an early morning thing or right before dark thing, pretty much for the redfish and trout. So, but yeah, we'll do our, me and Dee will do our best scouting and trying to find a good spot to go. And I've been out at that same location now a couple times since we fished it, and it's been nothing like when we were there. So,
yeah. All right. Just to say real quick, good night, Bill. And don't forget to give me a call next week when you're in town. He's already gone. Okay. Dee, how about you? Tips for the upcoming 1st of April?
I think Chuck said it all. He fishes that area more than I do. I do know they only end up in singles and stuff more at that time from my experiences. And you never know if you run in on a school, but I don't think that they're spawning at that time or anything. So Chuck's the one to know more than me up at the lagoon. I'm more down here by Sebastian Inlet.
Okay.
And we should be able to find a couple schools of fish. The only thing is, like, and what you won't see a lot of is those little rats that we were catching. You'll still get a few, but for the most part, those guys hightail it out of there. I don't know where they go, but you get a lot of slot fish, upper slot fish, and then every now and again, you'll just see a wad of these monsters come through. And unfortunately, you got to use some live bait that time of year as well in the afternoon to get them to eat. But no, I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun, and we'll try and catch a bunch of fish. So it'll be good.
And then Bill was talking about another event they do up at Cedar Key on April 15th or the weekend thereof, and they call it Tax Camp. And I think they go up there after the big uglies, the black drum head in around Cedar Key, and that's if you've seen his pictures of the big uglies, that's when they do it. So.
We and get actually, those around here too, Chip.
Say again?
We get those around here, tailing on the flat, right at Fan Key, that spot that I took you all that day. 30 to 60 pounds, man. You'll see them. It'll look like a broom, like the back end of a broom sticking out of the water.
Yeah. So, and I don't know. I mean, we could be open on Sunday. Maybe we go down and fish Dee's turf for some monster trout. Are they going to be the trout coming in about that time, Dee?
Well, again, those monster trout that you all like looking for, those don't really sit around in schools. They're single trout, so you have to find them in potholes. And if there's 10 people fishing 10 potholes, it's one trout per person. You know, well,
that's all we need.
So you have to be. Yeah, I know. But they're definitely out and around at that time, and that's when the snook come out onto the flats too, looking for bait. So it's really a good time to fish there too. And then the reds don't school like they do up in the lagoon, which is what I was trying to get across. It's a totally different fishing technique up there than it is at the Sebastian Inlet area, because when those reds are coming in, you're looking at them schooling, if you find them, in, you know, 8 foot of water versus, you know, 1 or 2 feet like when we were catching them over there, or like mm-hmm. you caught Chip, you know.
Right.
They don't plow through the water the same way. So.
That was like the... like a school of submarines coming across the lagoon when we saw those.
Those were awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty hot coming across there. It was pretty easy to pick those guys up.
I think the school freaked out.
What'd you say?
The picture 500.
Yeah,
the clone's eyes went buggy when he saw that. That was awesome.
Yeah, when he finally picked him up, it was funny because he was like, oh, I can't. It was like the first time he saw a deer coming out of the woods. So.
Exactly. That's great.
Well, that's very cool. So, well, maybe we should think about fishing the Goon on Saturday and heading down to your home turf on Sunday. So what, about an hour and a half drive?
It's more like an hour. Yeah, an hour and a half by the time you get to the inlet, yeah.
We like to start early so we get that good low sun on the morning to be picking up the fish, right?
Well, that would be more sight casting at that hour, you know, more topwater plugs kind of thing, surface lures, because you can't see into the water at all at that angle with the sun. So,
right.
And you don't get tailing reds there or drum. You have to know where they are and be able to cast accordingly, of course.
So. Very cool. Well, we're all looking forward to it. Another good opportunity to get on some fish and put some points on the board. And looks like we've got some pretty good folks coming down. And now Scott was saying Mitchell Dorsey there. That's Scott. He was also saying about he wants to catch a snook. So could we get into some snook that time?
Down by D.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah,
huh?
By me, you'd have a better shot, but you
right.
have to find them. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I hooked up on one the other day, you know, so.
Right.
You know, they're starting to come out of the woodwork.
Is that the one that blasted the mirror lure, the top water on you?
Yeah, it was yeah. And he's still there. I saw him the other day.
He's still there, huh?
Oh, yeah. We have what we call resident snook. I don't know if anybody has those kind of fish around, but
right.
you know where they're at. You just have to get there at the right time of day and you know, get them when they're hungry. I mean, you could see 100, if not 200, you know, just sitting under mangroves and stacked up like cordwood. And you can
wow.
cast at them all day long, and they'll swim right next to you and follow you, but they're not going to eat. So I'll show you the snook, but it's your job to get them to eat. Right?
That's when you need a buggy whip, D.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
They'll take a snook will take a fly almost all day long. It's pretty weird how, like, even if you throw, and you know because you get more experience fishing out of a kayak for snook than I do, but I've caught millions of snook, and I've never had one turn down a good well-tied bait fish pattern fly. I mean, they just, for whatever reason, they get stupid over it. So,
mm-hmm.
but
I would love to have you guys come out there and try throwing that buggy whip, really, but the distance between one mangrove to the other mangrove is the length of your rod.
That's where you do a
so
roll
you
cast.
You can't throw anything. Yeah. You can't really throw much.
Do a roll cast, or I have a little 5 foot.
Yeah, something. Yeah, you know more about the fly rod than I, but I'll tell you, I have to just.
It's tight in there, huh?
Flip it in there, yeah.
You're just flipping them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I built a little 5 foot fly rod for fishing in tight streams, and but it's a real lightweight rod. I don't think it's got enough butt in it to hang with a snook, so.
Yeah, but on the flats, what I was saying, when they're coming out and they come out on the flats and in the sand holes and stuff, and they're doing like what trout do, kind of hunting them down. That's when those are really fun to catch because you're also in like wide open water. They have like nowhere to run. They don't know where to go. So
right.
that's when they do all these leaps and tricks, and it's just great. You know, that's where your test comes in. Can you? Like a tarpon, you know, can you actually hold on without breaking that leader? You know?
Right. That's awesome.
Maybe we'll get into some. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to keep our options open there. So the other thing I wanted to ask before we get out of here, we're just over our hour here. But Chuck, the blank that you used to build that rod that you had last time at the Goon, what was that?
That is a G Loomis GL2 blank, and unfortunately, Loomis was bought by Shimano, and they no longer sell their blanks.
Yeah, I know. They took. There's a few people that still have some stock that are selling them. It was a GL2, you said?
Yeah. So if you can find a GL2, that blank itself is a 7 foot, 6 to 12 medium action. If you can find that blank. If you can find any numbers of that blank and you get a decent deal on it, let me know. I'll probably split the cost with you or something like that. It's killing me, man. I built that rod and I fished it one time, and when I went back to buy it again, the place I buy my blanks from were out of stock.
Hang on, Isaac is trying to start the car. I just muted him.
I'm sorry, I thought I had muted.
the place I normally buy my blanks from, they were out of them. I bought the last one they had, and I haven't been able to find it again since. But that's a pretty cool rod, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a nice looking rod. So you said it was a 6-12. What was it, like a 908 or something like that? Or do you remember what the numbers were on it?
No, I don't remember what the numbers were, buddy. I'll try. I'll see if I can look at. I'll see if I have the tags.
Yeah, if you do, I've got a cross. I've got a little a book with some numbers in it. I mean, it's certainly not going to be a G. Loomis blank, but we could probably come
up with I'll tell you what's really close. I'll tell you what's really, really close to that blank. Mudhole down here in Oviedo makes it. It's a, what is it? Crap. It's a MRX, I believe it is.
MHX?
MHX, thank you. It's their MHX series. They're 7-foot, 6-12, medium action, whatever, spinner reel. I mean, spinner rod, it's, you know, you buy the blank, it's nothing. But that blank actually turns out quite similar to the one that I have. In fact, I'll tell you really quick, don't discount their those cheap painted blanks that they have.
The CRBs?
Yeah, I guess that's what they call them. And they got blue, pink. Now they have, like, fruit colors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My second favorite rod I've ever built, I built on one of those. I'm looking at it right now in my garage. I built it on a blue blank, 7-foot, 6-12, medium action, and that rod has probably accounted for at least 5,000 redfish. I mean, the thing is just thick. And it's got that kind of bend in it. It's got that. It's pretty similar to that Loomis. The only difference is it's a little bit heavier as far as weight goes.
All right. D, you're out of here?
Yeah, I got to go.
Okay, good night. Thanks for showing up.
Bye.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye, D.
Hey, D. Hey, Chuck.
Yeah.
The TFO G. Loomis line, next year they'll be coming out with the blanks for them. And those are basically the same IM-8, IM-6 rods that Shimano has, just slightly different.
I carry the TFO stuff in my shop, and the thing that really discouraged me from the TFO line is the guys they put on those rods are just absolute junk, and the blanks themselves they're not bad, but they don't have the responsiveness that the real Loomis rods do. Now the G. Loomis TFOs. The whole theory behind that was just to get Gary Loomis involved to help sell some rods, and he helped to design those rods. But the blanks themselves just don't, like the 6-12 rod that you'd buy off the shelf feels more like an 8-17 or even a 10-20. So it's kind of weird. I want to put a couple of those blanks in my hand before I spend any money on them. I'll give you guys a report on that because I know I'm going to be able to get some. So
let me jump in here since you're talking about one of my local guys. For those that don't know, Gary Loomis is, I probably drive to his house in about an hour.
Okay.
He does have a new company, if you guys aren't familiar, North Fork Composites. I would imagine a lot of their blanks are going to be a lot like the old Loomis rods we used to love. So,
North Fork Composites, is that what you said, Isaac?
North Fork Composites, that's his new company. Try on that.
Cool.
So, are they open for business
now?
What's that?
Rod blank.
Is he selling rod blanks now?
I don't know. I'm not too sure on that, to be honest.
I heard rumblings about that at the ICAST show 2 years ago, and I wasn't sure. You know, because how people talk in this industry. I wasn't sure if it was true or not, whether or not he was going to be doing that, but I'm glad to hear that. Thanks for the information.
Yeah, that's cool.
Chuck, I'm looking at the website right now. Let's just go with the 5-6 foot rod. You're looking at freshwater, lower weight. Let's go with 1/32 to 1/8, 72 inches, moderate fast to light, 92 bucks for a blank. Not bad.
Wow.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about what his old blanks used to go for, so that's good.
1/4 to 1 ounce, 72 inches, extra fast mag light power, is $99. 12 to 20 pound line weight. That's awesome.
That's cool. All right, folks. Well, we've been going for a little bit over an hour here, about an hour and 10, and I got an early call in the morning, so we'll call it for tonight. I think we got some good tips out there, and Mr. Jones, thank you for the idea. I don't know if I ever saw you join in with the crew, or if you pick up the podcast, the show Stanley Tripp Jones there, and if you'll send me an email, chip@kayakfishingradio.com with your address, I'll send you a couple of stickers. So for providing us with the subject matter for tonight's call, the kayak fishing done cheap. And we got some ideas out there. I think we got some good ones. There's certainly a lot more. You check the forums at yakangler.com, georgiakayakfishing.com, kayakfishing.com, Irish Water Dogs, any of those groups, I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of great ideas. And Isaac, what's your doing yakangler.com out there, or do you guys have a website?
I personally do have a website.
Well, I know you got your blog.
That's just my blog, yeah.
Right.
And most of that's on yakangler.com also, so.
Okay. All right, cool. So, everybody, thanks for joining us tonight. And like I said, we've got the trip coming up the first weekend in April. If you're available, I know some of us are staying at the Best Western in Titusville, and some are going to be camping over on the Space Coast over there. And we hope to fish the Goon at least one day, and maybe go down to Sebastian Inlet and fish Dee's area on the second day. So look up putting some more points on the board for Kayak Wars. Keep an eye on that. Irish Water Dogs got a team, Kayak Fishing Radio team. Got the Northwest Kayak Anglers. We got just about every region covered with a team. So keep an eye on the points. It's a lot of fun. It keeps you out there thinking about what you're doing when you're fishing. And we'll see everybody next week. So, Spiker, thanks for coming in on us too, man. I appreciate you joining us from California there. Did you fall asleep on me? I think Spiker fell out of his chair. He probably fell asleep. All right, Rob, you got a good show for us tonight at 11?
Yeah, man, I got Spike on and some various other stuff. Oh yeah, okay, Isaac, yeah, come on in. Yeah, we're gonna talk California and West Coast fishing. Got a story about Miss Batcast catching her first fish. I don't know. This is the first time I had to write down a bunch of stuff so I didn't forget it. Normally I just get in front of the mic and I got nothing, man, and it just rolls out, you know. But yeah, that's what I got planned for tonight. So I got a list of all sorts of stuff to talk about.
All right, so we're just about a little under an hour before that starts right here, same bat channel, same just an hour later, 11 o'clock Eastern. It'll be 8 o'clock on the West Coast time there. And y'all join if you're one of those late nighters. So we'll see y'all next week, and thanks for joining us. And Dennis, maybe see you at 11 if you're on. Good night, everybody. Thanks a lot. Tight lines, take a kid fishing. Thanks, Paul, for showing up. Thanks, Charlie, Scott, Ms. Backcast. Congratulations on your first one, and we'll see you next week. Good night, Mark.
Later, y'all.
Good night, Chuck.
Good night.